Okay.
Good morning. This week we are learning Maseches Sota Daf Lamed Gimel. The weekly shiur for Maseches Sota is sponsored by David and Paula Baumzer and Omo Construction, Building Futures. The breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munchle, Eli Nishmas, Fego Bas Chaim, and Shimon Ben Zev, Zev Ben David, Sarah Bas Shalom, Chaim Ben Yoshua, and Edel Bas Moshe Yosef. We are in the seventh parak of Maseches Sota. This is the exciting turning point where we stop talking about Sota and change the topic for a nice chunk of the rest of the way. We're gonna the transition is the Mishnah says, starts listing off which things have to be recited specifically b'lashon hakodesh, that the Torah has a specific text, and therefore certain halachos you have to follow that specific text, and other halachos you can recite b'chol lashon. And on that list of b'chol lashon is parsha sota, that the parsha sota of the conversation between the kohen and the isha can be said b'chol lashon. And since sota is on this list, so this list allows us to transition from sota to other topics that have to either be b'chol lashon or dafka lashon hakodesh, or can even be b'chol lashon. Last week we spoke a bit about Kriya Shema and the Bab. That was one of the first things on our list, talking about saying Kriya Shema b'chol lashon. And now we're going to start talking about tefillah, about davening b'chol lashon. And the rest of the Masechta is going to start shifting. Once we mention Egla Arufa has to be lashon hakodesh, we have a whole parak called Egla Arufa Meshuach Mechama. So this is what allows our Masechta to transition to other topics beyond the halachos of an Isha Sota. So we're on Lama Gimel, Amad Aleph, we are at the two dots where it says tefillah, that the Mishnah had said that tefillah, davening, can be done, b'chol lashon. And so the Gemara is going to essentially go through a source in the Psukim, or if you don't need a source, it's going to explain the rationale as to why something could be said b'chol lashon, and does not need to be said specifically in Lashon HaKodesh, it can be done in any language. So the for tefillah, so the Gemara answers or explains, how do you know that you could say tefillah b'chol lashon? Because rachamihi. Because the whole point of tefillah is to dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to ask for things and to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and kol hechi debayi matzli. Since the whole point is to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for our requests, so it makes sense you should say that in whatever language is easiest for you. In order to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's easier for you to praise in the language that you're familiar with. So since tefillah is, the whole point of tefillah is rachamim, to dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it therefore makes sense that it should not require any specific rules, but should be can even be b'chol lashem. This is also the Gemara's rationale in Maseches Brachos and Daf Chaf in our previous Masechta way back, about why women are chayav in tefillah. Should we even talk about whether tefillah is zman gromar or not zman gromar, or their psukim? So the Gemara just explains rachaminenu, since they require rachamim as well, they also need to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course they're going to be chayav in tefillah to a certain extent as well. So the Gemara asks, is that so simple? Is that really true that tefillah b'chol lashon, you can daven in any language? V'hamar Rabbi Yehuda says, the olam al yishal adam tzracha b'lashon aramis. Rabbi Yehuda says that one should not daven, they should not make requests or ask for their needs in Aramaic. The Amar of Yochanan, because Yochanan says, kol ha-shoel tzracha b'lashon arami, ein malachei hashares nizkakin lo. Rabbi Yochanan explains that the malachei hashares are not going to help you and assist you if your request is b'lashon arami. Lefisha ein malachei hashares makirin b'lashon arami. Because malachim do not recognize, they're not familiar with Aramaic. And so Rashi fills us in, what are the malachim relevant over here? So Rashi explains that malachim are the ones who bring our tefilos towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We don't daven to the malachim, we daven to Hashem, and the malachim are the ones who take our tefilos, they're up close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so they help, they allow us, they transfer our tefilos from us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the language we use for our tefillah has to be one that the malachim understand, that they're familiar with, that they're comfortable bringing towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so therefore, although we started off saying you can daven in any language, b'chol lashon, we've now asked, is that really true? Shouldn't it be a little limited? You should not be able to daven in lashon arami, because you need the malachim to bring your tefillah towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they don't recognize, not familiar with the lashon of Aramaic. So perhaps, not b'chol lashon, perhaps you can daven in most languages, but not lashon arami. So the Gemara answers, lo kasha ha b'yachid ha b'tzibur. So Gemara answers the important distinction. The difference is between whether you are davening alone or whether you are davening b'tzibur. That Rashi explains that when you're davening alone, that's when you require the malachim to transfer your tefillah towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So davening b'yachidus, you should not daven b'lashon arami. But when you're davening b'tzibur and you're in shul with the minyan, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shechina is more present, and you don't need the malachim to transfer your tefillos. So when you're davening in tzibur, you can daven in any language, but when you're davening, b'yachid, and you need the malachim to be that conduit, then you would have to daven, you would not be able to daven, perhaps specifically in Lashon Arami. So that's an important distinction.
So when you're saying Kaddish, Kaddish is Aramaic.
So, yeah, so we spoke about why Kaddish is Aramaic. That's Tosfos in the very beginning of Maseches Brachos on Dav Gimel. That's Dafka in a Lashon that the Malachim should not understand because it's such a special tefillah. But, yeah, so our Kaddish, we say specifically in a Tzibur, when we are in a Minyan, and therefore we don't need the Malachim to be the ones to transfer our tefillah. So therefore, it could be Balashon Arami. That's also why Yikum Porkan. It says in the on top, you shouldn't say that when you're at home alone, be a chidus, because it's saying it, that's a tefillah in Aramaic. You shouldn't be saying the Aramaic tefillos when you're alone, because then you require the malachim to ascend with your tefillos. But betzibur, you'd be able to say the Aramaic tefillos.
But is that said for both Yikum Porkan? It's only said for one of them. You shouldn't say when you could say.
There's a different opinion. I think Mishnah Berurah says that you shouldn't say either. Yeah. The question is, yeah. So there's one part of. Part of Yikum Porkan is about the tzibur, as opposed to, so that wouldn't be relevant if you're alone, but also the whole thing. I think Mishnah Berurah says about not saying either of them.
But you go ahead and say that it's Aramaic.
Yeah,
I can't imagine there's nothing.
There is. Valutzium.
There is. Yeah, there's a Valutzium. There is.
Maybe it means the entire thing you shouldn't go. I don't know.
So there's a few shitos from Rishonim. So the riff in Maseches Brachos, just Paskins are Gemara, simply ha b'yachid ha b'tzibur. And the question that you're focusing on is it really true that b'yachid you can't daven b'lashon arami b'chlal or any in any other non-lashon hakodesh languages? So the Rabbeinu Yonah makes a distinction that perhaps specifically the if it's part of the text of tefillah, that's okay. In any language, even Arami, Ben Yonah says, because the same way that we say that if you're davening with a minion, then you don't need the malachim because you're part of the tzibur. If you're saying the text that the tzibur says, then that would be able to be balashon Arami. That's also going to have the same pulse. That's a kula from Ben Yonah. That's Paskin. The Shulchan Aruch quotes Habiyachet Habitzibur. That's the main sheet in the Shulchan Aruch in Simin Kuf Aleph Sif Dalin. And then the Tzitzit Yesh Omrim of Rabbeinu Yonah that you can daven as long as it's part of the Kavua text. You can daven even Belashon Arami. But the Rush adds another kula as well. And the Rush adds, this is right, shifting away from the specific text of our tefillah, but talking about, hey, can I translate the tefillah and daven in other languages. So the Rush says that specifically Balashon Arami is a problem. That there's a specific issue with Aramaic, which we said that they don't understand that language, perhaps. And the Rush therefore says if it's non-Aramaic, so like if you're going to daven English at home, that would be okay. That's the kula of the Rush. So when we say ha b'yachid ha b'tzibur, so let's focus on the yachid. That b'yachidus, our Gemara says, you can't daven b'lashon arami. So does that mean you can't daven Aramaic, or does that mean you can't daven any language? And perhaps it should be usser, one should not be allowed to daven at home in any non-Hebrew language. So the Rush adds a kula, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Yesh Omrim, that if you're davening at home and you're not davening Arami, that specifically Aramaic is an issue, but to daven other languages, like to daven English at home, the Rush says would be okay. At the same time, the Mishnah Berurah has emphasized that Mitzvah Menah Mufchar, it's most preferable to daven Lashon HaKodesh in general. There are certain milas to the tefillah of Lashon HaKodesh that it's important that we can tap into, so it's better to try to Lashon HaKodesh. But if someone's trying to learn and they're trying to get the most kavana that they can have, so there is the shita of the Rush to rely on. The Rabbeinu Yonah says that also women were davening at home in his time, and they were davening in English. So how can they daven in English at home if it's not Lashon HaKodesh specifically? So perhaps Dafka Lashon Arami is an issue, but to daven other languages would not be a problem. The other side, though, that others focused on in history was HaBitzibur. That our Gemara seems very clear that Bitzibur, you don't need the Malachim, so you can daven any language. So we should be able to daven with our Chazan in English, and everybody answering in English, and we should be... There should be no Hebrew in our Gemaras, so in our Siddurim. So what's the problem? It seems very clear from our Gemara, and as I said, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, HaBiyachid, HaBitzibur, that Bitzibur, one can daven b'chol lashon, you don't need the Malachim to be your conduit, so there should be absolutely no problem with davening in other languages when you're in shul with a minyan. And that was the argument of the Reform, that why do we need these Hebrew Siddurim? Why does everyone have to start, you know, stumbling over the Hebrew? Let's just cut to that language that everybody knows. And this is Tav in English, which is, you know, this is how things, it started as what seems to be, you know, making changes that seem to be in line with the Shulchan Aruch. It isn't against the Mefurish Shulchan Aruch. They're davening in English in a tzibur, which should technically be okay. It happened to steamroll into other things that were less al pi halacha. But the Achronim in that time were not too thrilled. The Chasam Sofer has a tshuva where he suggests that Eina Chanami, yes, it says that you can daven b'tzibur in any language, but he argues that kula should only be utilized b'akrai in one-off circumstances, but not as a general rule. And his concern was that everyone's going to forget Hebrew, right? Fine, you can daven in any language, but you need Hebrew to learn Masechah Sota, you need Hebrew to read a Tanakh, and he was concerned if you're going to allow everybody to not learn Hebrew because they're just going to daven in any language that they want, then it's going to be nishkach from the whole community, they're going to forget Hebrew, and it's going to impact their Avodah Hashem in other ways. So the Chasam Sofer was against it for that reason. But even besides for that, so even once we say that technically speaking, you're allowed to daven in any language, there certainly are milas to davening in Lashon HaKodesh. As we said, that the Ashkenaz Zagdola, when they were metaking this tefillah, so there were a lot of kochos that were implemented inside those words, that even if you don't understand the depth of the words of Shmona Esrei, but they were put together by such an incredible, the people who were the giants of their generation, that were able to put in certain kochos into that tefillah, that were able to tap into, even if you don't understand the, you know, why it's so deep, it definitely is able to penetrate, and there is definitely a certain maila to davening with the specific text that was given, because the words are much more special than we realize. So technically, yes, can you translate and daven with the English? You also have the concern of, is the translation a good translation, right? Is it, can you rely on the person, the translator, that they actually do a good job? It's risky that you may not actually get what the tefillah was supposed to get at. So there's general discomfort, there's broad discomfort about davening in other languages if you don't need to, but if someone does need to, they also have the transliterations where you can, you know, if you don't know how to read Hebrew, you can still say the words and tap into the kochos hatfilah. But it was a big hot topic in terms of the reform, of course, trying to prevent any further changes. Mishnah Berurah says that after they change it to English, they're going to start taking out certain parts of Shmona Esrei. They're going to start taking out the parts of Shmona Esrei that talk about the geula, and they're going to start putting in their own agendas. So it was a partial halacha, partial, trying to prevent further changes down the line. But that was a big topic.
Davening by yourself, you can read about Tzion because it's the text of the tefillah. He's actually referring to, if you're davening by yourself, you shouldn't say your own additional like tefillahs in there,
right? Right. Yes.
Your own stuff, your own personal one that you're adding in, especially whatever. You know, that's probably what he means.
Right. Yeah. No. I think that that like in Shema Koleinu, everyone agrees that that's the purpose of that tefillah, and that you're allowed to put things in. But there is a discussion in the poskim about like, just like, you know, at the end of every Shmona Esrei paragraph, just like saying like Tate, and like just like talking in Yiddish in the middle of Shmona Esrei, they were not too happy. They're not too thrilled about making a hefsek in your Shmona Esrei about and just like throwing in non-Hebrew additions. But I think Lekuli Alma, everyone agrees that in Shema Kolina that you would be able to. That's kind of the purpose of that tefillah. Another side, very interesting, related topic to this. So the Gemara says that the Malachi Yesharis are not Makirim B'Lashon Arami. They don't recognize, they don't understand the Lashon. So not all the Rishonim understand this to mean that they're not fluent in Aramaic. It seems to be that this Gemara is saying that they don't understand the language. They know some languages, they just don't know Lashon Arami. And Tosfos in Shabbos says that there's no way that's true. Because after all, he makes a big assumption, if the Malachim know what we're thinking, then they should for sure know any languages. And everyone's like, wait, slow down. Is that true that the Malachim know our thoughts? That the Malachim can, where is Tosfos to get that from? That the Malachim can read minds and know our thoughts. Tosfos says, so since if they know our thoughts, they must understand Lashon Arami, and so therefore it must be when Gemara says that the Malachi Asharis aren't going to, they don't like Lashon Arami, it means they don't want to deliver tefilos Takash Baruch Hu that are in Lashon Arami. So there's machlokas. What does Makir mean? Does Makir mean that they don't understand the language? Or does it mean that they understand it, but they don't want to bring tefillos in that language to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's a gnai to not use the particular Lashon HaKodesh. But all the Achronim are talking about, is that true? The Malachim don't, that the Malachim know what our thoughts are, that they know what we're thinking. So some just disagree and say no, but others try to figure out, and this is like a fun game, of do we find places in Chazal where Malachim seem to know our thoughts. So they, one example is we find in the Torah, and we've also find in Megillas Esther, that we find that that the pasuk says, Vayomer blank belibo, and Vayomer Haman belibo. And the Gemara assumes that Mordechai knew Haman's thoughts to be able to write it as part of the Megillah. Or it says, Vayomer Esav belibo, and Rivka knew what Esav was thinking. So the Madan Yantav makes the jump that if you have Ruach HaKodesh, apparently that allows you to also know people's thoughts. And so, of course, the Malachim, who also are able to talk to HaKodesh Baruch Hu, they should also be able to know people's thoughts. My favorite was Parshas Vayera, where the Malachim visit Avraham, and they say, Aye Sarah Ishtecha. So some think this right from both directions. The Malachim ask, where is Sarah? So some argue, why are they asking where Sarah is? Why don't they just do zzz and like figure out what Avraham's thinking and know that she's Hey Neva Ohel?
Because they pretended to be
so maybe, yeah. So some say, oh, when they're in Shamayim, they know our thoughts. When they come down and they're dressed up as people, maybe then that they don't know our thoughts.
They had to play the role.
Exactly. They're trying to act it out.
Yeah.
Chazal, but some take a raya as the opposite
way. That's
why
also ate.
Exactly, they were acting like people. Yeah, people can't read minds, so they're trying to fit in. Others take the opposite approach because the Gemara says that why did they ask Aye Sarah Ishtecha? They didn't have to ask, but they asked Kedei Lechadva Al Baila to make her more beloved, to point out to Avram, hey, look what your wife is, what she's doing for you right now. So they were trying to. The reason why they asked was Kedei Lechadva Al Baila, mashma that otherwise they didn't have to ask because they already knew the answer because they're able to read minds. But that's an interesting discussion. Tosfos make the assumption that, oh, what does Ein Makirin mean? They don't understand it. Of course they understand it. They know our thoughts. Of course they know Aramaic. And therefore, Tosfos conclude that, no, they understand Aramaic. They don't want to deliver our Kadosh Baruch Hu to Tefilos in such a Lashon Neguna. Okay, that's the Tefillah B'chol Lashon about davening in other languages. And the Gemara says, not Lashon Arami when you are alone, because the Malachi Asharis are not Makirin B'Lashon Arami. The Gemara asks, is that true? V'ein malachei asharis makirin b'lashon arami. Do the malachim not know Aramaic? They're not fluent in Aramaic. V'hatanya. But it says in the Tosefta, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Shama baskol mibis kodesh hakodashim. Yochanan Kohen Gadol was doing the avoda on Yom Kippur, and he heard a baskol, which is like a malach, a voice from a baskol, from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and it said, Jehu Omer, Nitzchu Talia, De Azlu La'agacha, Karava La'antuchia. There was an army of young Kohanim that had gone to wage war in Antuchia. And Nitzchu, they had been Matzliach, but the Baskol had said that they had won the war. So that's an example of a Baskol that is in Aramaic. Malachim must know Aramaic if they're able to speak Aramaic in a Baskol. Another Maisa, Veshub Maisa B'Shemun HaTzadik, that he was also Kohen Gadol doing the Avoda. Sheshama Baskol Mibes Kodesh HaKadoshim. He heard a Baskol from the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. Shehu Omer, and it said, Betelas Avirta De Amar Sana La'Aisa Al Hechala. So the Avita, the army that had come, that our enemies, the Sana, that our enemies had said to come, La'Aisa Al Hechala, to come to destroy the Hechal, the Beis HaMikdash, was Betilas. It was stopped. The army that was coming to attack us has been thwarted. And it continued, V'nerag Gaskalgas, and the king, the Greek king Gaskalgas, has been killed, U'batlu Gizerosav, and all of his decrees have been annulled. That was the quote of the Baskol. And then the story continues, V'kasvu Osa Sha'a, they wrote down, they took note of what time was it that the Baskol said that the army had been defeated, and Gaskalgas had been killed, V'kivnu, and they checked afterwards, and it actually lined up. This Baskol was a real Baskol, because the timing of the Baskol aligned with when actually the army and the king had been stopped. So that's the Tosefta. Uvalashon Arami haya Omer, and clearly it was said in Lashon Arami. So Gemara has a kasha. We just said don't daven b'lashon Arami when you're b'yichidus because the Malachi Asharis aren't makirin b'lashon Arami. But here we have two examples of baskols which are from Malachim, which were clearly speaking in Lashon Arami. Clearly they understand Lashon Arami. If they can speak it, they must understand it. So Gemara gives two answers. Ibai seima baskol shiny dila ashmui avida. So either you could say a baskol is different because the whole point of a baskol is a heavenly voice coming from Shemayim to relay information to Klal Yisrael. So perhaps for the purposes of for the purposes of a baskol, there's a difference between a baskol and a malach. A baskol's purpose is to send a message to Klal Yisrael, and that lower level of malach is able to understand, is able to speak Arami. But the ones that are going to bring our tefilos are not able to speak and understand Lashon Arami. A second answer, Yibayisema, Gavriel Hava, that was Gavriel. This box called the Tosefta was Gavriel. The Amar Mar, as you say later in the Masechta, Ba Gavriel, the Limdu Shibin Lashon, that Gavriel the Malach came and taught Yosef the 70 languages. So that was Gavriel, but other Malachim are not familiar with Lashon Arami, and the Marsha says it must be Gavriel is not the Malach that brings our tefilos to Mefuyas Baruch Hu. If it was him, then apparently we'd be able to daven the Lashon Arami be Echidus. But most Malachim are not familiar with Lashon Arami. So that's the discussion of tefillah b'chol Lashon, where it's mechalik between habayachid, habitzibur. Be'echidus, you should daven to the Lashon HaKodesh specifically, but B'tzibor, you technically would be able to daven in other languages, barring other halachic arguments. The Gemara now continues to the next example from our Mishnah, that Birkas HaMazon, that benching can be done, Bechol Lashon. Mar brings a pasuk, Tichsiv, V'achalta, V'savata, V'rachta, Hashem Elokecha, Bechol Lashon Sha'ata, Mivarech. Right, similar svara, that the pasuk says that you're going to be blessing HaKodesh Baruch Hu, and the presumably, you should bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the language that is most appropriate for you to bless, the language that you usually would speak, to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no specific text in the Torah. And so if it's just a broad bracha, it makes sense to daven, to bench, Bechol Lashon Sha'ata Mivarech. The next example from our Mishnah was Shvuas Ha'edus. Shvuas Ha'edus is when one takes a shvua that they don't have any testimony. So imagine somebody owes me $100, and I know that you were there, that you saw that this guy lent me $100, and I know I'd love for you to go testify in Beis Din that you saw that this guy owes me $100, and this way I can get my money. And you say, no, I don't want to go to Beis Din and swear about, you know, that I saw this person borrowed $100. And then they even go to Beis Din and they take a shvua and they say that I swear, I take a shvua that I did not see that this person owes Kevin $100. They take a shvua that they don't have any testimony to relay. And then what happens down the line? And then down the line, I end up losing the court case, and I lose out on my $100, and this guy took a shvua that he didn't know what happened, and then he comes and actually comes clean and says, no, really, I knew the whole time, and I was just lying. So he took a shvua, he lied in Beis Din, saying he didn't have any edus, any testimony to give about me and my $100, and then he admits that he really was not telling the truth. So that shvua, you get very specific over here, that shvua, when the guy goes to Beis Din and says, I swear that I don't have any testimony about Kevin's $100, and he takes that shvua can be Bechol Lashon. And he's going to be Chayev a Karban, when he took a shvua, and he lied when he took his shvua, he's Chayev a Karban no matter what language he took his shvua in. It's a bit of a chish, you need a pasuk at all, because there's no text for what language to make your shvua in, so why do you have to even bring a pasuk to tell me that it can be Bechol Lashon? Shouldn't it be obvious that you can, right? Most of these things, there's a specific text. And so we say, oh, that specific text, you have to say it in Lashon HaKodesh or any language. Shvuas Ha'edus, and the next one also, Shvuas HaPikadon, there's no specific text. So it should have been obvious you could say it. Well, you could take a shvua and base it in any language. And so the Tosfos tries to understand why maybe you would have made other limudim to learn that maybe a shadafkin be Lashon HaKodesh. But others of Madaik, if you look at our Gemara, it doesn't say Shvuas Ha'edus minalan. How do you know that Shvuas Ha'edus can be said in any language? It just brings a pasuk. So maybe it wasn't the most pressing question. That's a diuk that Rashi and Tosfos make throughout this Gemara and the back and forth. When the Gemara says minalan, then the Gemara is really pressing about, hey, what's the deal? What's the makor? What's the source? You can say it's Bechol Lashon. When it doesn't say minalan, it's perhaps not the, you know, the not the biggest chiddush, because Shvuas Ha'edus taking a shvua and based in, there's no specific text to read, so perhaps it was already pretty obvious that it could be said Bechol Lashon. But the Gemara brings a pasuk, so Shvuas Ha'edus tichsiv v'nefesh ki secheta v'shama kol Allah Bechol Lashon shehi shamas. Pasuk that says that the guy takes a shvua and he lies, he's in bichay of a karban. It says v'shama that can be heard. And so any language that you can hear, it's just a mashma that any language for your shvua, and you lie in about that shvua, you're in bichay of a karban. Gemara makes another, you know, similar din by shvuas hapikadon. That's where someone just takes a shvua saying, I don't owe you money, right? So I go to my guy and I say, hey, you owe me $100. Or you have my pikadon, which is worth $100. And he says, no, I don't. And he takes a shvua, I don't owe Kevin $100. And then he tells us actually he was lying. Or we find out that he was really lying the whole time. So first of all, he owes me the $100. He also owes me an additional chomesh. There's a fine for lying and taking making a shvua that you don't owe me money, and really you did. There's an extra additional fifth/fourth to add to that $100, and then he is chayav a carbon as well, carbon asham for lying about this shvua in Beis Din. So this shvua as well, when the guy comes to Beis Din and says, "I take a shvua that I don't owe Kevin $100," he can say that in any bechol lashon. It does not have to be a Hebrew lashon hakodesh shvua. In any lashon that he takes that shvua, that's gonna make him need to bring a carbon down the line if he was lying. So again, what's the drasha? How do you know? So Mara says, "Asya secheta secheta mishvuas ha'edus." Just like shvuas ha'edus is your chayav a carbon, whether you said it bechol lashon shvuas ha'pikaron as well. It also has the word of a secheta that tells us that you're gonna be chayav for the shvuah that was made bechol lashon. The Mishnah then continued. We're going to quote a bit from the Mishnah, a few lines from the Mishnah. Ve'elu ne'emarim b'lashon hakodesh, mikro bikurim v'chalitza v'chulei. We had mentioned that mikro bikurim is one of the examples that has to be said specifically in lashon hakodesh. When you bring your bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, you have a certain collection of psukim to recite. That's the Arami Ovid Avi that we say, those psukim at the Seder. That's the Mikra Bikurim. And you have to say that Mikra Bikurim specifically, Belashon HaKodesh, you can't say it in other languages. It has to be the specific text that is in the Torah. And the Mishnah had said, Ad Mikra Bikurim Ketzah, we're quoting more from the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, how do you know that Mikra Bikurim has to be said Dafka Belashon HaKodesh? So we darshan Ve'anisa Ve'amarta Lefnei Hashem Elokecha. It says, "V'nekem bikurim v'anisa v'amarta," and al haholan who omer v'anu halavim v'amru el kol ish Yisrael. We darshan everything. We learn everything from the levim by Har Grizim and Har Eval, the brachos and klalos. We're going to talk more about that on the next daf, on the next amud. So just like the levim at Har Grizim and Har Eval, they said brachos and klalos dafka b'lashon hakodesh. So to make bikurim is also dafka b'lashon hakodesh. Ma niya ha'amur al haholim b'lashon hakodesh af kan b'lashon hakodesh. So to make bikurim is also dafka b'lashon hakodesh. So now that's all a quote from the Mishnah, and the Gemara now asks, "V'levim gufayhu minalan." So we said, "Oh, just like the levim." Right. So let's give the history a bit. Towards the end of Sefer Devarim, we have the Psukim and Parshas Kisavo and Parshas Re'eh referencing Moshe tells Klal Yisrael, "By the way, when you cross over the Yarden and you go into Eretz Yisrael." Moshe says, "I'm not going to be there. I'm not able to cross into Eretz Yisrael with you. But when you do, you're going to go to these two mountains, Har Grizim and Har Eval." The next Amud is going to talk about where those mountains are. And you're going to say, you're going to get half a Klal Yisrael on one mountain, half on the other mountain. You're going to have the Levim and the Kohanim and the Aron Kodesh down below. And the Levim are going to go and they're going to turn to each of these two mountains. And they're going to say Brachos and they're going to say Klalos, right? Arur and Baruch, the whole list that's in the beginning of Parshas Ki Savo, and our Mishnah explains that those Levim, when they say those brachos and klalos, this one time in history, that had to be said specifically Belashon HaKodesh. You may ask, why do we care whether it was Lashon HaKodesh? This is Maida Hava Hava, right? This is a historical fact. Well, it's important because we're going to learn from there to other halachos, that just like the Levim said their brachos and klalos dafka Belashon HaKodesh, so too Mikra Bikurim, so too Chalitza. That's going to be the source for other halachos. So that point in history, when we cross the Yarden, the Levim specifically said it Belashon HaKodesh, and therefore so too Mikra Bikurim, Zereshava, and so too Chalitza. So now the Gemara asks, well, how do you know that the Levim themselves said it Belashon HaKodesh, that those brachos and klalos at that time in history were said specifically Belashon HaKodesh? So the Gemara now explains, Asya Kol Kol Mi Moshe. It's a Gzera Shava of Kol Kol from when Moshe gave us the Torah at Har Sinai. Ksiv Hacha Kol Ram. It says by the Levian that they have to say it B'Kol Ram. Uksiv Hasa Moshe Yedaber V'Ha'alokim Ya'anenu B'Kol. And by Moshe at Matan Torah, it says V'Ha'alokim Ya'anenu B'Kol, that it was said B'Kol. Ma'ala Halam B'Lashan HaKodesh. Just like we take as a given for granted. Obviously, Matan Torah was not in English or Spanish. It was in Lashon HaKodesh. So too, Afkan, the Levim as well, were Belashon HaKodesh. So Gzera Shava Kol Kol teaches us that the Levim, historically, at that point in time, when we crossed the Yarden, said it specifically in Lashon HaKodesh. And from there, we learned to other halachos like Mikra Bikurim, Gzera Shava, that Mikra Bikurim as well must be Belashon HaKodesh. And the next example in our Mishnah was Chalitza. The process of chalitza requires a few different steps. One is the chalitza, taking off the shoe of the yavam, of the man, right? guess take a further step back. Someone's husband dies and they didn't have any children, so now that the surviving wife has to she has a zika, a connection to the husband's the dead husband's brothers. She can either do yibum or chalitza. She can either marry the brother or she can do a chalitza ceremony to sever that connection and not continue to marry the yavam, the brother of the deceased husband. And the chalitza process to sever that connection with the husband's siblings, there's a process of chalitza which has three different steps to it. One is the chalitza hasandal, taking off the shoe of the yavam. The second is rikika, that she then spits on the ground next to the yavam. She doesn't spit at him. She doesn't spit in the shoe. I don't know, for me, everyone in school was like, oh, you spit in the shoe. Chalitza, you spit in the shoe. You don't spit in the shoe. You take off the shoe and you put it on the side. You spit on the floor. She spits on the floor next to the yavam. And then there is the kriyas hapsukim, which is our topic. There is psukim that she has to say, the whole script that she has to say this, and then he has to say that. And our Mishnah is telling us that that script has to be followed, the lashon hakodesh, specifically to follow the text of the psukim.
So who gets the choice here? Is it her that has a choice not to marry him, or is it him that has the choice not to marry her?
So our, we said when we did Yevamos for our short stint in Yevamos, we generally don't allow yibam nowadays anyway.
Today,
because it requires the kavana that they're doing it for the mitzvah.
But back then,
but we say even ba'al karcha, we say that that we had a drasha that
you means that it was his choice.
Yes.
So that's why if he was the one who's saying no, that's why she spits on his face or on the floor. Okay, because it was you who said it, no.
Right. Yeah. It's an emotional spitting.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But yeah, and so that three-step process of the chalitza, of the rikika, the spitting, and the amira sapsukim, there's a three machlokas about how much of those steps, how many are ma'akev, how many do you really need to do? Is it still a kosher chalitza if you didn't read the psukim? Or if you didn't do the rikika, you didn't spit, or you didn't do the taking off of the shoe? So how much of that is ma'akev, how much is necessary, how much is required lechatchila, but if you didn't do it, it would be okay. So that's three machlokas about how much is necessary and how much would not be ma'akev, wouldn't prevent it from being effective, b'di'evet, post facto. So our Gemara, our Mishnah had said, if you look back in our, let's just turn back to our Mishnah on Lamed Beis, because we kind of cut out the whole machlokas. If you look on Lamed Beis and Aleph in the Mishnah on the first Y line over there, so the Gemara had said, right, chalitza ketzad va'ansa v'amra. That the hadin of the chalitza has to be lashon hakodesh. So va'ansa v'amra, it's a similar drasha. It says va'ansa v'amra ulahalan hu omer by the levim. It says va'anu halavim v'amru. So ma lahalam lashon hakodesh af kam b'lashon hakodesh. The rabbanon say it's a gzera shava. So it's like mikra bikurim. It says va'ansa v'amra, which is the same words as by the levim. The levim b'lashon hakodesh. So to chalitza is dafka b'lashon hakodesh. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda omer, no, you don't need a gzera shava. But va'ansa v'amra, Kacha, Achate Amer Balashon Hazeh. By the Chalitza, the Psukim say the word Kacha, which sounds like you have to do this specifically. You have to say these words specifically, and therefore you don't need the Gzera Shava of Ansa V'Amra, but you can just learn from the word Kacha that by Chalitza it has to follow a specific text, and you can learn it internally from Chalitza. You don't have to go externally to the Gzera Shava to the Levim. That's a machlokas Rabbanan, Rabbi Yehuda, about do you learn it from Gzera Shava or do you learn it from the word Kacha? So the Gemara now goes back and forth. What does the other person use the other person's drasha for? So the Rabbanan, hi Kacha my Avdilei. The Rabbanan didn't use Kacha to teach us that Chalitza is dafka to follow the text. They learn Gzera Shava. What do they learn from the word Kacha? Mibayi lehu ledavar shehu maisa ma'akev, to teach that these steps are ma'akev, that the action steps, that the steps we said, the chalitz, taking off the shoe, is an action. The rekiga, the spitting, is an action. And those action steps are ma'akev, the chalitza. And if you didn't do them, there would not be a kosher chalitza. And he learns that from the word kacha, yeyaseh, that the maisim are le'ikuva. That's how he uses the words of Rabbi Yehuda for a separate drasha. And Rabbi Yehuda, how does he learn that halacha if he doesn't have the word kacha available? So miko kacha, he learns from a separate drasha of the word kacha contains the word ko, and it could have just said ko yeyaseh. Why does it say kacha, an extra chaf? That teaches us the extra din, that davar maisa ma'akiv, that the steps are going to be ma'akiv. You have to do the action steps of chalitza and rekika. And the Rabbanan Ko'kacha lo mashmalahu. The Rabbanan don't darshan the extra chaf of the word kacha, so they don't have to make an extra joshua with that extra chaf. But we have everybody learns how it's lashon hakodesh, how is it ma'akev. Everyone has their own drasha of how to learn those halachos. Now we go the other way. Rabbi Yehuda learned lashon hakodesh, that chalitza has to be lashon hakodesh from the word kacha. What does he learn from the gzera shava? For Rabbi Yehuda, haiva ansava amra my avile. What does he learn from that gzera shava? So mibayi leila agmure lilevim de belashon hakodesh. Yehuda says something very interesting. Rabbi Yehuda says that va'ansava amra, the gzera shava connecting chalitza and levim, teaches us that just like chalitza is lashon hakodesh, just like chalitza has to be dafka following the text by lashon hakodesh, so too the levim historically also followed lashon hakodesh. Until now, we were starting from the levim. We were saying the levim were lashon hakodesh, and we learned from the levim to mikra bikurim, from the levim to chalitza. And Yehuda does the opposite way. He learns from chalitza to the levim that the levim must have also been balashon hakodesh. The Gemara asks, "Velelav kol mi Moshe?" But we had a gzeres shava kol that already taught us that the Levim said it, their brachos and klalos specifically balashon hakodesh. So the Gemara says, "Ania ania gamir kol lo gamir." Essentially, a difference in their tradition of which gzeres shavas they have and which ones they don't have. He doesn't have the gzeres shava of kol, so he doesn't know that the Levim said their brachos and klalos balashon hakodesh specifically. But he has anisa ve'amarta. That gzeres shava teaches him that the Levim said it specifically balashon hakodesh. And a supporting brisa tanya namihachi, Rabbi Yehuda omer kol makom shenemar ko kacha ania ve'amira eino ela lashon hakodesh. Rabbi Yehuda's shita is, if it says the word kacha, that means you have to say this specific text, or ania ve'amira you can make zera shava, then those halachos require balashon hakodesh. So it says ko savarchu, by brechas kohanim has to be dafka lashon hakodesh, and kacha de chalitza, that chalitza has to be lashon hakodesh specifically, and ania ve'amira to levim, that the levim's brachos and klalos were also dafka de lashon hakodesh. So essentially we have three halachos, / historical ideas. We have the levim, historically, that Har Gizrim and Har Eval, that they said Lashon HaKodesh. We have Mikra Bikurim, which has to be done by Lashon HaKodesh. And we have Chalitza, which has to be done by Lashon HaKodesh. The Rabbanan say, starting point is a Levim. The Levim was definitely by Lashon HaKodesh. You have a Gzera Shava of Kol Mi Moshe. And from Levim, we make a Gzera Shava to say that also Mikra Bikurim is Bechol Lashon. And also Chalitza is Bechol Lashon. It starts from the Levim, and then it extends to Mikra Bikurim and Chalitza. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it starts from Chalitza. The Torah says, Kacha by Chalitza. Chalitza has to be dafka balashon hakodesh. From chalitza, we make a gzera shava to the levim, that the levim must have also been lashon hakodesh, just like chalitza, so to the levim. And then from the levim, you learn to make bikurim, that's also balashon hakodesh. So, bottom line, the halacha, everyone agrees that levim, make bikurim, and chalitza are all dafka lashon hakodesh, but the how you get there, the drashos, the difference of opinion between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan, coming down mainly to what was their tradition of gzera shavas. They all followed the gzera shava that they learned from their rebbeim, from that was passed down in their mesorah, and using the gzera shavas that they have to reach the bottom line halacha. But they all agree with the bottom line conclusion. Okay, and then the final discussion for today is about the location of Har Gerizim and Har Eval. This is a fascinating machlokas. The Gemara seems to argue about, so we said, when Bnei Yisrael cross the Yarden, they're going to go to these two mountains, which everybody knows where they are, Har Gerizim and Har Eval, and they're going to go up and they're going to have the Levim give brachos and klalos. And our Gemara is going to seemingly have machlokas about where were these mountains. What was the geographical location of Har Gerizim and Har Eval? If you're showing them are bothered, is that really our Gemara is having a machlokas about where these mountains were? Shouldn't we know, you know, confidently where things were? And maybe you can, you know, it's weird to have a machlokas of Metzias of where Bnei Yisrael, where these mountains were located. So the Tosas Rush, and Tosas over here quotes the Yerushalmi, that there's really one location of where Har Gerizim and Har Eval were, and the other Shita in the Gemara is suggesting, apparently, that Bnei Yisrael didn't go up to the real mountains of Har Gerizim and Har Eval. They made these mounds out of dirt. They made man-made mountains and declared, this is Har Gerizim, this is Har Eval. They kind of like made like a whole skit out of it. So either they're at the real Har Gerizim and Har Eval, or they're in a different geographical location. Not that the mountains were there, but they made their own mounds over there and called them Har Gerizim and Har Eval for this purpose, which is a very fascinating machlokas in general. But we're going to see what the Gemara, how the Gemara goes about it. But these are, it's not necessarily a metzias machlokas. It's just about where Bnei Israel did this whole back and forth with the Brachos and Klalos, but not Lav Dafka Machlokes about the geographical location of where the mountains were. So the Gemara says, so we quote from the Mishnah, Brachos and Klalos, Ketzad Kevin Sha'avri Yisrael Sayardin Vechule. So Tana Rabbanan, the Pasuk and Parshas for A describes where the mountains were. It says, Halohema Be'ever Hayardin, where you can picture Klal Yisrael are on they haven't yet crossed the Yarden, they're on the east, the right side of the Yarden. They're going to be crossing towards the west, over the Yarden. And it says, but when Klal Yisrael cross, Halohema Be'ever Hayardin, when they cross the Yarden, which Rabbi Yehuda assumes, Me'ever the Yarden Ve'elach. It's very far past the Yarden. They're going to cross the Yarden and they're going to go a bit of a way further to the west, dear Rabbi Yehuda. So Hargizim and Har-Eval are not right when you cross the Yarden, boom, it's right there. It's not right when you cross. It's when you cross, you have to go further down, far away from the Yarden, and that's where you're going to find Hargizim and Har-Eval. Achare Derech Mevo HaShemesh, the pasuk continues that Achare Derech Mevo HaShemesh, which Rabbi Yehuda darshins, Makom Shechama Zorachas. The pasuk says they're going to go Achare very far from Mevo HaShemesh. What's Mevo HaShemesh? They're going to go far from Mevo HaShemesh. What's Mevo HaShemesh? So Behuda darshins, Mevo HaShemesh is Makom Shechama Zorachas. That's where the sun rises, which means from the east. They're going to go far from the east. They're going to go all the way to the west. They're going to cross the Yarden, going westward, and they're going to go even more to the west, and that's where they're going to find the mountains of Hargizim and Har-Eval, further down towards the west. Be'eretz HaKanani, Hayosheba Arava.
You mean east. Mevo HaShemesh Zorachas.
So it's far from where the Shemesh Zorachat. That's confusing. It's Acharei. It's far from Kevo HaShemesh. So it's far from Shemesh Zorachat, far from the east, going more towards the west. Yeah, very confusing. Baratiknani, Hayoshe Ba'arava, Elu Hagrizim Ve'Har-Eval, Sheyosh Be'Mehem Kusiyim. The Gemara clarifies for the current times in the Gemara, this location is now, at times of the Gemara, where the Kusiyim were settled. And if I was going to continue, Mul HaGilgal, that it's Samoch LeGilgal, they can still see the area of Gilgal. Eitzel Elonei Moreh, where is this? Shechem. It's near Shechem. Because it says, Elohalan hu omer by Avram, it says, Vayavor Avram ba'aretz ad mekom Shechem ad Elon Moreh. So just like by Avraham, ma Elon Moreh ha'amor lahalan Shechem, afkan Shechem. So over here, so this is the first shita. Rabbi Yehuda says that Hargizim and Har-Eval were near Shechem. It wasn't that Bnei Israel crossed the Yarden and then poof, right there were the mountains. They had to go a bit more to the west to find the mountains of Hargizim and Har-Eval, which is near the area of Shechem. That's the first shita. It wasn't right when they crossed. It was further down to the west. That's where these mountains were located. And Tanya, based on this shita, Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, Bedavar Zeh Ziyafti Sifrei Kusiyin. Based on this drasha, that Elon Moreh is Shechem, that it's Gzira Shava from Abraham, that Elon Moreh is Shechem, I was able to show that the Sfarim, the Sifrei Torah of the Kusim, were really mezuyif. They were wrong. They were inappropriate Sifrei Torah. Because Amarti Lam, I said to them, Ziyaftem Torahschem, your Torahs are wrong. Velo ha'elis and biyadchem klum, and you didn't do anything right at all. Sha'atem omrim Elonei Moreh Shechem, in their Sifrei Torah, it said, Elone Moreh Shechem. In their Torah, it said, Elon Moreh is Shechem. But the Kusim, Rashi tells us, didn't have Gzeres Shavas. They didn't learn the Torah Sheba'al Peh. They only learned Torah Shebichsav. So we know Elon Moreh Shechem from Gzeres Shavah, but the Kusim, who were only Torah Shebichsav Jews and they didn't learn Torah Sheba'al Peh, they don't have the Gzeres Shavah to tell them that Elon Moreh and Shechem are the same thing. So how do you know? Klum sha'atem omrim elon moreh shechem, af anu modim she'elonei moreh shechem, but anu lamdenuha b'gzera shava, atem b'malamatum. We learn gzera shava, that elon moreh is shechem, gzera shava, but you, who don't hold of gzera shavas, had to know that elon moreh and shechem are the same thing. But for you to have shechem in your Sefer Torah is essentially proving that you agree to gzera shavas, and therefore their whole thing is inconsistent. They're going to say that their Torah should say, elon moreh is shechem, but that halacha, that reality is only known from Gzeres Shavah, so they're being internally inconsistent. So this halacha, this drasha of Elon Moreh and Shechem being the same thing, Rav Elazar ben Yossi was able to use to disprove the Sifrei Torah of the Kisuyim. But that was all the first shita of where are these mountains. They're not right when they cross the Yarden. They're when they cross the Yarden and further down towards the west. But now the second shita, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Halo Hema Be'ever HaYarden, Samal HaYarden. It means mamish. They're going to cross the Yarden, poof, right there. That's where Hargizim and Har-Eval are going to be found. Because the Ime Ever HaYarden, the Elach, Halok Siva Hayaba Avrichem as Hayardin. If it's really far away from the crossing the Yarden, it's gonna have to cross the Yarden and then go further down. But the pasuk says that on the day that they cross the Yarden, they're gonna go up on these two mountains and they're gonna do the brachos and the klalos. It's a cross the Yarden, and on the same day do the Levim and Brachos and Klalos of Hargizim and Har Eval. If it's far down to the west, it's going to require a long trip. How can you do that on the same day that they cross the Yarden? If it's required that on the day they cross the Yarden, they have to go to the mountains, it must be that these mountains are geographically close to the Yarden, that right when they cross the Yarden, they're going to run into the mountains right there. And acharei derech mevo hashemesh, so that which we had darshined, that, oh, it's far from mevo hashemesh, which we thought meant, oh, it's far from the east, it's far to the west. So Rav Elazar darshins the opposite, that acharei derech mevo hashemesh, it's far from mevo hashemesh, meaning it's far from makom sha'achama shoka'as, it's far from where the sun sets, it's far from the west, it's towards the east, right when they cross the Yarden, that's where they're going to find the mountains. I mean, Tinun Drasha, the Eretz HaKanani, Eretz Chivihi, the Gemara clarifies, even though it says Eretz HaKanani, really it was the Eretz Chivi, which was, you know, from the, you know, the son of Canaan, so it's really all part of the same thing. Gemara says clarify. And the Gemara now asks a couple of questions about the end of this pasuk, not specific to any of these shitos, but the Gemara asks, Hayosheva Arava. The pasuk concludes that these mountains are going to be Hayosheva Arava. They're going to get there through the, you know, plains and flatland. But these mountains are mountains. They're not on a plain flatland. And Mulha Gilgal, Vazik then says that it's going to be near Gilgal. But these mountains are not near Gilgal at all. So this end of the Pasuk, you know, separate from where these mountains are, how do you understand the end of the Pasuk? Hayosheva Arava, Mulha Gilgal, it's not flatland and it's not near the Gilgal. So the Gemara Darshan, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Lo Ba Hakosov El Laharos Lahen Derech. Bishnia, Kederach Shahera Lahen, Berishona. The end of the pasuk is not talking about where the mountains were located. It's talking about how Bnei Yisrael are going to travel once they cross the Yarden. Totally separate. Not about the description of the mountains, but it's comparing the way that they traveled Berishona with Moshe in the Midbar to how they're going to travel in Eretz Yisrael once they cross the Yarden. That it should be Derech. Bederech, we're darshaning the pasuk now, that it says derech, meaning bederech lechu velo besado suchramim. When they cross the Yarden, they're going to start traveling to the mountains. They should go through that traveling should be going through drachim, through, you know, established roads and not through fields and vineyards. And the pasuk continues, hayoshev, meaning beyeshov lechu velo midbaros. You should go through settled lands and not through deserts. And ba'arava lechu velo beharu mugavos. You should go through plains and flat lands, and it should not be traveling through Harim Ugivos. So the end of the pasuk is not about the description of the mountains. It's a description of how they should travel. They should travel through flat lands and through roads, as opposed to traveling through, mountains to get to the mountains. But besides that, we have a machlokes about where were these mountains. Were they immediately when they crossed the Yarden? That's where they had the two Hagrizim and Har Eval, and they went up and they had the Brachos and Klalos. Or was it not right when they crossed over? It was further down. Let's just do a little bit more and then we're gonna call it a day. Tana Rabbanan, Ketzad Avru Yisrael Es HaYarden. How did Klal Yisrael cross the Yarden when they eventually did cross the Yarden with Yehoshua? So the Gemara clarifies that there are some differences in the details of how they usually traveled. That Bechol Yom Aron Noseya Achar Shnei Degalim. Usually in the Midbar when they traveled, the Aron was behind two Degalim, two of the flags of the Shevatim. But Hayom, on this day when they crossed the Yarden, Nasa Techila, the Aron went first. Shne'emar, Hinei Aron Bris Habris Adon Kol Haaretz Over Lifneichem. The Aron Habris is going Lifneichem in front of the entire camp. And Bechol Yom Bayom, on usually when they're in a Midbar, Leviim Nosim Es Haaron, is usually the Leviim who carried the Aron. But Vahayom Nasuhu Kohanim. But today when they crossed the Yarden, it was the Kohanim carrying it. Shne'emar Vahaya Kenoach Kapos Raglei Kohanim Nosei Aron Hashem. Pasuk refers to the Kohanim when their feet enter the Yarden, and it refers to the Kohanim as being the ones who carried the Aron. So the Kohanim, usually it was the Leviim, but here the Kohanim specifically were the ones who carried the Aron as we crossed the Yarden. Next week, Staff's going to talk more about the details of how we crossed the Yarden and what that looked like and the splitting of the Yarden. But for today, we discussed some of the sources of our first Mishnah of the Perek. The Mishnah lists off things that are said, Dafka B'Lashon HaKodesh, or even B'chol Lashon, and we spoke about the source of how to know that Tefillah can be said B'chol Lashon and benching, and the Shavuos, Hayes, and Bikaron can be done B'chol Lashon. We then darshan that Mikra Bikurim and Chalitza our Dafka Lashon HaKodesh, and we ended off with the Machlokas about where Hagrizim and Har Eval were located. Was it Dafka, was it specifically when they crossed the Yarden it was right there, or was they crossed the Yarden and had to go further to the west until they found the mountains of Hagrizim and Har Eval?
Shkoyah.
Shkoyah.